Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4:18-19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28:19-20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host. And as always, it is my privilege to be back amongst my listening audience as we study together the Word of God. We have been in a study of the book of Acts, and we've been in chapter 2 for a while now. And we're going to continue in chapter 2. We're going to be picking it up around verse 13. So let us go before the throne of grace. Father God, we just thank you once again for allowing us to come into your presence for the study of your holy and inspired word. We pray now, O Lord, that your Holy Spirit would lead, guide, and direct our paths. Develop within us, Father, a right spirit and conform us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We know that your word will never go out and return unto you void. So, Father, we just ask that your will be done. We ask this all in Jesus' name for his name's sake. Amen. All right, now, let us begin, and I'm going to read probably quite a few verses so we can have some discussion on it. And we're going to pick it up in chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "Others mocking said, 'These men are full of new wine.' But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, 'Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is what that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Let's stop right there at verse 24. Now, whenever a miracle takes place, whenever something takes place that men that are unbelievers cannot figure out, humanly speaking, they become mockers of it. So they start to be accusing the disciples of being drunk, even that it's only like 9 o'clock in the morning. That's the third hour of the day. And so men will mock and ridicule and sneer things. But worse than that, they will paint an undignified picture in the presence of others. When people don't understand the things of God, they want to belittle it, berate it. They want to make fun of it. They want to just make it out to be nonsensical. And therefore, it seems like we who believe are just chasing after some wild pipe dream. Amen? Now, this new wine, and it literally means these people full of glucose, because new wine was a sweet wine, and the sweet wine had a higher alcoholic content to it. But even those who were drunken in those days, they would not be drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. So they are bringing these accusations to try and dissuade those people who are hearing the message of God that this is really just a bunch of nonsense, if you will. Now, we find that there are some miraculous things that have taken place. Remember now, there was a rushing mighty wind, as with the tongues of fire, or flicks of fire, if you will. And then all those who were present in Jerusalem had heard the word of God in their birth languages. And I don't want to belabor that language thing too much longer, but again, it is a known language, unknown to the speaker, but known to the hearer. Amen. So if I go to verse 15, it says, like I've been stating, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. And like I said, that was 9 o'clock because they reckoned, the Jews reckoned the day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So the third hour had been 9 a.m. Now notice that Peter didn't get in any argument about the denial of the hand of God. He simply stated the facts and moved on to the truth. It was Peter who knew what was going on, not these deniers of truth. It was Peter who was filled with the Holy Ghost, not these unbelievers. It was Peter who was filled with the Holy Ghost who should have been listened to, not the foolish mockers. When you want to know what God is doing, you go to the man of God, not to the mockers. Now, many times we know that when you try to present the gospel to people, you will be mocked because people just do not want to hear and understand. Let me move on now. Now, he begins to quote and bring into play now the prophet Joel. The skill and the wisdom and the bravery of Peter were a sure sign that something monumentous had taken place. This is not some mere eloquence of man. It said, this preaching, this sermon of Peter stood as the first authoritative document in the new church. Only the Spirit of God could have possessed Peter's mind in interpreting prophecy of the Hebrew scriptures, a prophecy of the coming of the Holy Spirit and the far-reaching results that should follow. And you got to excuse me for getting tongue-tied on that word. It says, another characteristic that is clear of God's man is that the message comes from God because it is full of the Word of God. And I know sometimes I might be branded as being negative, but I keep saying this, and I say this not in a negative sense, but in a very positive sense, because I have to remind myself of this all the time. It is the Word of God that changes the hearts and minds of mankind. It is not our philosophy. It is not our private interpretation. We are to preach the Word and the unadulterated Word. It says, and it came to pass in those last days, this is verse 17, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, this passage which Peter quoted is interpreted, is found in Joel, the second chapter, verses 28 through 32, and it declared many centuries before Pentecost that God would one day pour out his spirit, pardon me, on all flesh. The crowd is simply amazed and asks, what does this mean? Pardon me. And Peter proceeded to tell them that this is what was declared by the prophet Joel. Pentecost was no accident. It marked the beginning of the end, okay? Not of the church, but the beginning of the end of the religious system that was once in place. Now let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. It says, little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now, as there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that is the last time. Because Joel's prophecy now is not yet fully fulfilled. Now, I need to make that kind of clear because we see the beginnings because we are in the last days. The last days started when Jesus ascended into heaven, and the last days will end when he comes again. And it talks about the great and the terrible day of the Lord, which is the tribulation period. And if you were with us as we went through our study on Revelation, you would have seen and understood those things. Now, the moment for this term last days is a common Old Testament expression. It denotes the time when the Messiah would come to set up his kingdom. But the question that needs to be answered is, when did the last days begin? The answer is, when the first coming of Christ ushered in the last days, as I said. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21 says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last days times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now, once again, Hebrews 1, the chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto his by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So we can see now that We are in the last days. And when you fully read the rest of this prophecy of Joel, things have not happened. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit did come on the day of Pentecost. But when you read what the prophecy says, it says when it starts talking about the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, wherefore the great and the notable day of the Lord. And it says also in verse 19, it says, I will show you wonders in heaven above and the signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. These things have not transpired yet. So when we see these, the fullness of the prophecy of Joel, no one can fully understand this until the millennial kingdom is set up by Christ himself. I hope that makes it somewhat clear. Now, obviously the last days have already gone on for over 2,000 years, but during this time, God has graciously called the Gentiles to salvation, and he has also chastened Israel for her unbelief. Now, verse 18, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those last days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Peter was answering the questions of the people who really wanted to know what was going on, as well as the babblings of the unbelieving skeptics. I'll say it again. To the Jewish mind trained in the scriptures, this proclamation of mighty works of in the various languages God should have been very familiar with to them because it predicted a future event. This was the prophecy of Joel. Those who studied the word of God should have understood and realized that this was the prophecy being unfolded before their very presence, but yet and still many of them mocked the disciples. I got to begin to kind of wind this down as we begin to close out another program, but I would invite you to please tune in again next week as we go further into the Word of God. We'll kind of revisit some of these scripture texts. I don't want to belabor certain things too long, but I do want to make them clear because, like I said, this second chapter is a key chapter. It's a chapter I believe that Satan goes after to make it very difficult for the church to really be what the church should be under the mandate and the mission of God. So please pray for me as I pray for you. I hope you have a blessed week and a wonderful worship service. Please tune in again next week. This is Pastor Holmes saying good night.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. It's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.